Now looking to the Lord for all needed help, we ask you to turn to the Gospel according to John chapter 3 and verse 35. John chapter 3, verse 35. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. Let me begin this evening by asking a question. What is the test of real religion? And I believe you will find the answer thus. The test of real religion is what we think of the Lord Jesus Christ. As one said, what think ye of Christ is the test. To try both your state and your scheme, ye cannot be right in the rest, unless ye think rightly of him. Does he stand high in our estimation? Do we consider him to be the chiefest among 10,000 and the altogether lovely one? Is he our heaven and our all? You see, in this portion of Scripture, the chapter we have read together this evening, and from verse 25 onwards, where some of John's disciples come to him, and they're a little concerned that everyone is going after the Lord Jesus Christ, who is baptizing people. And they consider this to be the prerogative of John. But look at the language, look at the attitude, the sentiments that this man of God shows. He will be nothing that Christ may be everything. Ye yourselves bear me witness, I am not the Christ. He makes this abundantly clear. But he is the great prophet who is sent to announce him, to speak of his coming, to testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ says of John, there is none greater than John the Baptist. This man then is held in eminence even in heaven itself. And so every saint of God, every child of God, every true Christian is held in great regard by heaven itself. What does each saint of God, what does each child of God, what does each true Christian think of themselves? They think themselves to be nothing, but Christ may be everything. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy is fulfilled. What is the motive for coming to the house of God to sit under the sound of the preaching of the gospel? Do we not pray, Lord, let me hear thy voice? As the Lord himself states, my sheep, that is, my people, my chosen ones, mine elect, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And then we have this amazing statement, really. He must increase, but I must decrease. how contrary this is to modern day religion, when everyone thinks so much of themselves. I think that they possess such a religion of their own making and of their own understanding, when in reality they know nothing at all of the true God of Israel, the true Savior of the world. Because I believe this will be the sentiment of every true believer, that Christ must increase. As Gadsby says in his well-known hymn, "Oh, that my soul could love and praise him more." There seems to be in the man's heart that great desire to raise up the Lord Jesus Christ to the highest possible level and to humble himself in the dust of humiliation. So he goes on, "He that cometh from above is above all. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Who are we that the Lord should take knowledge of us? He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth." This is our condition by nature. We are earthbound creatures, and our whole disposition is toward the things of this earth. Just look around you. Look at society today. Never surely has there been a time in this nation when man has proved that to be true. His whole pleasure, his whole delight, his whole life is centered upon the things of this earth. He shows himself as to what he is. "Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifieth. The Lord Jesus Christ came as the Word of God. As John has said right at the beginning of this gospel, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." But no man receiveth his testimony. Ah, you Arminians, you free willers, listen carefully to what the Baptist has to say, inspired by the Holy Spirit, that no man receiveth his testimony. It's not in our nature to receive the things of God. It's not in our hearts to believe the truth as it is in Jesus. It's not in our very being to accept the scriptures. Man wants to conjecture and make his own scriptures and find salvation by his own expertise. What fools we are. But there are some. And thanks be unto God for his great compassion toward mankind, that he chose some and ordained them to everlasting life. Some have received the testimony. And by receiving that testimony, they set to his seal that God is true. Let God be true, and every man a liar. For he whom God has sent speaketh the word of God. Came from the very bosom of God. He came with that commission, sent of the Father, to speak the truth. all men are liars, but God is true. All men by nature speak lies, but God can only speak the truth, because he is the truth. And so he speaks what he is, and sets before mankind this glorious truth. But for the most part, man rejects it. He doesn't want to know it. We will not have this man, Christ Jesus, to reign over us. But he that hath received, these know and love and delight in the truth and desire to have the truth. And they want more and more. They want to be satiated with the truth. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. These again are remarkable words, spoken by who they were. Remember that John the Baptist, in the womb of his mother Elizabeth, leapt for joy at the sound of Mary's voice, enunciating the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit was in him then, before ever he was born. And the Spirit of God had guided him and led him into those things which were perhaps unique in their nature in his day. The last of the Old Testament prophets, the first of the New. There he had come to deliver the message that God had given him. But he came to deliver it as a servant. Christ came to deliver it as a son. And therefore John has this great estimation that he's not worthy to loose a latchet of his shoes. He sees himself in comparison to Christ as nothing at all. Jesus Christ is my all and in all. And I myself am nothing at all. Isn't this the spirit of a true believer? It's not what is recognized in the churches today. No, the person who has the foremost knowledge, who has the zeal, who is able to persuade others, he's the one who is elected and set up in the church to be the great one. We see it in so many religions. They have their leaders who are set upon a pedestal. Ministers who are so doted upon that they're lifted up in their pride and in their life. To be a poor servant of Jesus Christ, I believe it's the greatest honor that can ever be bestowed upon a person. And then to be called to the work of the ministry, to preach unto others. The Lord, you know, passed by angels. Angels know much more than we do because they have not sinned. They live in perfection. They live in holiness. But they were not equipped to preach the gospel because they didn't understand man's condition. They couldn't come alongside him in all his needs and in all is concerned. And so the Lord chose the weak things of this earth, and all to be a weak thing in the hands of the great Master. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. We believe in the Trinity, that God is one God, world without end. But there are three persons in the Godhead, three distinct, separate ones. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And all three in the Godhead are equal in their desire to gather in the elect. Now, the Father was the one who chose the covenant people. God the Father donated the church unto his Son. Many consider the Father to be an austere person, because they know nothing of the grace of Almighty God. Now, if we know anything of the work of God in our hearts, we will have an equality of love, as it were, to Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We love the Father because he first chose us in his beloved Son. The Father loveth the Son. The Father loved the Son as he lay, as it were, in his bosom, ever before the world began, even from all eternity. Now, there are many things that we cannot explain. There are many things which are and will remain a mystery to us. But faith lays hold of the truth. And it's only by faith that we will receive these things, to know that the Father loveth the Son. And he loves them with a complacent love. We can only bring in types, inadequate, of course. But look at the love that Abraham had for Isaac. He was the son of promise. Abraham had waited many, many years for Isaac to be born. And God had revealed to him that in Isaac, or through Isaac, his seed should be as the stars in the heavens, or as the sea that is by the seashore, innumerable. But then Abraham is put to the test. His faith has to be tried. Take now thy son, thine only son, to the place that I will show thee. And there offer him up as a sacrifice unto God. Abraham loved Isaac. There can be no question, there can be no doubt. There was such a bond of love between the father and the Son. And yet these two are separately identified. We know that Abraham was a real character. We know that Isaac also was a real character, a different character, a separate character. And there Abraham obeys the command of God. Well, here we have a type, an inadequate type, and yet it is a type that the Holy Spirit has set before us to try and show unto us poor earthly creatures that union, that bond that existed from all eternity between the Father and the Son. I say, words cannot adequately describe. These things we have to believe. Either we believe them or we believe them not. The Father then loves the Son. He loves him so dearly. They are one. As the Lord Jesus Christ said, I and my Father are one. There is such a union between the Father and the Son, a union that cannot be broken, a union which is as they are, from everlasting to everlasting. Now we can only come to the Father through the Son with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. No man has seen God at any time, but Christ was in the bosom of the Father. What a great mystery. What a wonderful mystery. If only we can believe. If only we can put our trust in the true and living God. If only we can believe what the Word of God teaches us in these things. And it teaches us sufficiently. I say there's much we do not understand. Much that the Lord has not seen fit to reveal unto us. And yet there is sufficient. There is sufficient for our faith to lay hold upon. The Father loveth the Son. But these words are, I believe, especially designed in mind of Christ in his mediatorial role. That is, as he stood as a representative of his people. Christ loved him even in his humiliation. And where did that begin? It began in the womb of the Virgin Mary. That holy thing that the Holy Spirit placed in the womb of the Virgin. The Father loved the Son even there. In his ministry, with the opposition, the temptation, the trials, the sorrows, the disappointments, in all these things, the Father loved the Son. And then, in his persecution, in his sorrows, in his dying, the Father loved the Son. As we have read in this chapter, that God so loved the world he gave his only begotten Son. What more could he give? The greatest of all gifts that could ever be considered, the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And even when he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Father's love did not fail toward his Son. He loved him then. He loved him when he rose from the grave, triumphant. He loved him when he entered once more into glory. What a scene that must have been when all heaven saw the triumphant Saviour taking the seat that was his by right. The highest place that heaven could afford him, at the right hand of the Majesty on high, there the Father loved him. And to show how much he loved him, the Father gave unto his Son all things. You know, there is sometimes a natural relationship, an earthly relationship, between a father and a son. And the father, having confidence in that son, gives everything to him. But the son does not always live up to the father's expectation. And then there is great disappointment. But the Father loved the Son with perfect love. And we can say also that the Son loved the Father with perfect love. And so the Father had confidence to put all things into the hand of Jesus. The Father loveth the Son. Look how much Jacob loved Joseph. Look at his sorrow when he believed that Joseph had been killed by that wild beast. But think of his delight when that relationship was renewed and they fell upon one another's necks. Oh, the joy that there must have been in each of their hearts. Well, can we even imagine the joy when Christ ascended back into heaven, there with the Father, but now as a representative of his people? Let me then ask another question. Do we believe in God the Father as one that is approachable through the Son? As the Holy Spirit grants us liberty to draw near unto God, we'll only believe if the Lord has given us that faith. It will never come from nature's ground. But then, let us consider the Son. Co-equal and co-eternal with the Father. Now, sadly, this is for the most part denied. Many will think Christ was a good man. He was the greatest of all the prophets. He was one that came with a mission sent of the Father to deliver a certain people. Some will go that far. that they will stop and not consider that Christ is God. I want to just draw your attention to five scriptures. The first one is in the prophecy of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. Very well known verse, of course. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. In other words, the one that is to be born in Bethlehem has come forth from God. And hath been from of old, from everlasting. Now can we say of any other than God that they were from everlasting? Then God is immutable. And again, a very well-known verse in the prophet, in the Book of Hebrews, chapter 13, and verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, and today, and forever. Then the omnipotence of the Lord Jesus Christ, John, chapter 21, and again, these are very well-known verses. Verse 17. Simon Peter saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And then his omnipotence, we've read that on the Lord's Day in the book of Revelation, chapter 1 and verse 8, where he says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Who dare take such a title unto themselves but God? This proves that Christ is God. Then Matthew chapter 28, and verse 20, his omnipresence, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I say again, these are well-known verses of Scripture, but they prove without any question that Christ is God. The Father loveth the Son. Just briefly, because our time is almost up, what is it that the Father has put into the hands of his Son? As I said before, it is in this mediatorial sense that these words are spoken. That Christ is the head of the church. He has committed all men. And by all men, I mean all without any exceptions. hands, into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. He hath put his own people into his hands, into the hands of the Redeemer. He came to redeem his people, to save them from their sins. He came to justify them by his own precious righteousness. He came to reconcile them unto the Father. He came that he might bring them back to God. These are the things that God has put into his hands. Whosoever believeth in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. So another question, do we believe in this Christ of God? Do we believe in him as the eternal, immutable, omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient God? Do we believe in him as a great I am? But more so, do we believe in him as our Saviour? Because God had put all things into his hand, and the special prize, as it were, is his covenant people. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. No, he loved. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in his hands. Not one shall be left behind. Not one shall be lost at last. The church was given to Christ. As the bridegroom takes hold of the bride, so Christ takes hold of his church. Having loved his own that were in the world, he loved them to the end. His is an eternal love. And we could say, we love him. Can we say it? We love him because he first loved us and gave himself for us, a ransom for our souls. But the wicked are put into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ also, because he is appointed the judge of heaven and earth. And all must stand before him. Those that believe not are condemned already. We read in verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. There is therefore now no condemnation, says the apostle, to them that are in Christ Jesus. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Christ then will judge all men. And all will stand before him to receive their just deserts. Now where do we stand in relationship to these things? Do we know this Jesus? Do we love this Jesus? If the Father so loved the Son, and if we consider that the Son is our Saviour, how much should we love him? Does he not deserve our whole heart, our whole life, and our all? Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my all, this worthless part. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. Because the Father knows that his hands are safe hands, and that he will do what is right, because he is true. Yes, this is a wonderful word. If only we can receive it. If only we can believe it. The Father's love, and yet he spared not his only beloved Son, but gave him for his people, or to be counted in that number, for whom Christ came, for whom Christ died, for whom Christ rose again, for whom Christ lives in heaven, ever interceding on their behalf. Yes, he loves his people. He hath demonstrated his love for us. Will we demonstrate our love for him by following him in his ordinances and in his ways? Or may this question rest upon our spirits as we leave this service tonight. May the Lord so impress these things upon us. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? And plead that the Lord may be pleased to put the question out of question, that we may be enabled to say, as we read concerning Peter, yea, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. The Lord bless his own precious word. Amen. Just want to say, for those who listen or may listen to this sermon on sermon audio, we do have a telephone service where people can listen in live to our services. If you have an interest in this, call Gospel Mission 406-466-2311.